Women from India who learned to make and sell menstrual pads attended the Oscars this year. They were featured in the winner for Best Short Documentary, Period, End of Sentence. The film follows the women who break the taboo topic of menstruation in India. WSHU's Davis Donovan spoke to one of the producers, a freshman at Yale University.
Sophie Asheim is the co-founder of a group called the PAD Project. It grew out of a high school class fundraiser for a machine to make affordable, biodegradable menstrual pads for women in the city of Hapur, India, about 40 miles north of Delhi. The documentary Period, End of Sentence started as a promotional video for the PAD Project.
Our tagline is a period should end a sentence, not a girl's education. Your period should be something that's a little bit inconvenient, but it should never hold you back from doing anything. And a huge barrier around the world, especially in developing countries and rural areas, is that people just don't have access to what we consider very normal period products like pads and tampons. And there's also just not as much or nearly any education around like sexual health, sex ed, reproduction, so people don't understand why they're bleeding, and it leads to a lot of fear and shame.
So this grew out of work that you did as a high school student.
So this all started when my English teacher, Melissa Burton, pulled me aside after class in like the middle of 10th grade, and she said, read this article I'm giving you, and it was called For the Price of a Pad, and it basically outlines period poverty in India, in rural India. For a lot of families, the price of pads for a girl for one period cycle will be the same price as the amount of milk it takes to feed a family for a week. And so parents are obviously going to prioritize the milk for the entire family. And so this also leads to a huge prioritizing of boys' education over girls. We were at a private school in Los Angeles, and this was nothing we'd ever had to consider. It was kind of just assumed that we'd go to school, we'd go to college, we'd do something else with our lives. As much as like our periods would be like an inconvenience or like we'd have really bad cramps, it was never debilitating in the sense that like it would stop me from my life plan and like keep me out of school.
In the documentary, we see some of the stigma, girls having a hard time talking about it. You know, they'll kind of freeze up.
I can't say the words. Why not? I'm too shy. It's the dirty blood that is released. Babies are born because of it, and just this is all I know. Which one of you knows what a period is?
Like a class period when the school bell rings?
No.
But were you surprised to see that kind of both stigma and misinformation coming from the kind of background that you were talking about?
I think the misinformation was definitely more shocking than the stigma. I mean, the stigma goes back thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Menstruation has been a shameful thing forever. But I think the misinformation is kind of what really got us. I think we took for granted the, like, at least minimal sex education we'd had. Like, even in the U.S., where, first of all, it's not law to require you to teach factual sex ed, there's some of it. And you at least get the basics of what a period is and what a menstrual cycle is and why you're bleeding. Because, like, to just start bleeding at age 13 is kind of scary, especially when you don't know why and it's not something you feel comfortable talking to your mother about. As long as we were able to break that barrier and like widen the conversation around menstruation, that was what was like our end goal.
So the film and the project also kind of center around this machine that is being sold by the women in the film. Tell me a little about what this is.
So the machine is a fairly simple machine. It uses locally sourced biodegradable materials. But what actually makes it successful is the sustainability of it and the fact that the women who are working the machine are going to be earning wages, doing much similar work than they would have not been paid for in the fields. They're being paid for the first time. And also it's just widening the conversation, which I think for us was why this was such the right solution.
And all of this is the focus of this documentary, Period, End of Sentence, this now Oscar-winning documentary. How did this come together, this decision to let's bring in a film crew?
We never thought it was going to end up this big. Our idea was really just to make a visual piece, a visual component, which would be able to be spread and educate audiences and use as an educational component for us in like talk about this in the U.S. Because first of all, there's still a huge menstrual taboo in the U.S. Teenage girls don't feel comfortable talking about it. They had their tampons on the way to the bathroom. Low-income and homeless people in the U.S. cannot afford these products, and that's a huge issue as well. We wanted to be able to use a documentary or some visual component as an educational tool to be able to talk to other people about this. Everyone on the project at the time was in high school, and now many of us are in college and some are still in high school. It's not very often you see listed producers on a doc as teenage girls. From there, it kind of snowballed. I mean, we're based in LA. A lot of our parents had been somewhat in the film industry. And so actually through a parent on the project, we were introduced to Rika, our director. said, "Hi, we're about to launch a Kickstarter. We filmed a video for it. It's not very good. Will you help us remake it and then also make this documentary?" We had purchased the machine and, like, sent the money for the machine and the first year's worth of supplies. And then we're like, okay, well, when's it going to be installed? There was going to be some issues there. We weren't sure, like, when it was going to make sense to send Rika and Sam to go film. And then suddenly we hear it and, like, oh, the machine is being delivered the first week of March. We were like, okay, well, we cannot pass up the opportunity to go film that. And so we very quickly scrambled and were able to get them and a camera to India.
So I wanted to ask about getting to go to the Oscars for this movie. I mean, what was that? That must have been quite an experience.
Definitely an experience from start to finish. Wild. It was a whirlwind. I like left school right after my stats class, got on an airplane, got to LA, and was like, oh, we're here now. But I think the most important part of that weekend for us was honestly being able to spend time with the women from Get to Kira, because we were very lucky to be able to work with Netflix to bring some of them out to do work in LA on the project, but also to be able to go to the Oscars. We were able to get the timing right. And so to be able to like hang out with them and have dinner with them, because we've talked to them over Skype a bunch and I've seen more footage of this documentary than I know what to do with, but to be able to like actually make that connection was really incredible.
So you are now an Oscar-winning college freshman. I know it's a little early to say, but do you see yourself continuing the work that you've started with the PAD project?
I definitely don't know what I'm going to do in the future. The goal right now is honestly just to pass my midterms this week, but I definitely do see all of us staying very involved and working on the PAD project. Our plan this summer is to really dive in heavily, set up the structure of the nonprofit, which, you know, it's going to be a learning experience for all of us, and kind of figure out how we can move forward with Get to Kira and other communities as well and kind of expand the PAD project.
Well, it sounds like one way or the other, you have a lot of exciting work ahead of you. Sophie Asheim, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much.